Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. All right, today's episode is probably going to be a little bit shorter than usual, but I think it serves as a great opportunity to highlight another voice in the Collapse space, which is something that I like to do every so often. I recognize that there are pros and cons in the way that I present information, in where I come from and my background and what I do. I'm not a climate scientist, and so my explanations are often very surface level and summaries of the impacts of research, rather than on the actual technical aspects of the research itself. And so today I want to highlight someone who is a climate scientist and who does go into the technical aspects and does a wonderful job at it. Most of you are likely already familiar with this gentleman, but if not, I highly recommend you visit his site, check out his information. So this is Paul Beckwith. I've been following Paul for a long time, have enjoyed the evolution of his YouTube videos. I miss the days when Shackleton the Explorer would make a cameo every episode. But yeah, so just a quick introduction. Paul is a Canadian climate scientist. He does brief videos, usually between 15 and 25 minutes or so, on different aspects of news and research that comes out regarding the climate. And he just released a video which talks about this: the unexpected outgassing of CO2 in Southern Ocean means carbon sink is less than we thought. Less than we thought, faster than expected, worse than expected, sooner than expected, all phrases along the same vein. And I think that this video that he has is a great, it really highlights this idea that our climate models are assumptions, and they're typically very conservative assumptions. They underestimate the impact. They are overly generous. And we're fighting that time and time again as new research comes out, as new technologies are used, as more resources are put towards research in certain areas. We find that scientists have been too lenient, too conservative about the impacts of certain aspects of climate change. So in this case, Paul is talking about the Southern Ocean, specifically an area of the ocean that is below the 35th south latitude. So everything below 35 south, which makes up somewhere between 15 and 20% of all of global ocean area. And yet it serves as a sink for 40% of the carbon dioxide that the ocean does take in. So even though it's a relatively small area of the ocean, it takes up a very large portion, almost half of all of the carbon dioxide that the ocean pulls in. The reason for this is because of the temperature of the water. Colder water is going to pull in and be able to hold more of the carbon dioxide. It dissolves it, goes through a process where it carries it down essentially to the bottom of the ocean and sinks it into the sediment. Paul does a great job in this video of going through the technical aspects of this, the different regions of of Antarctica and of the ocean there, and the different elements that determine what causes carbon to be pulled in, for this area to be considered a sink rather than a source. Some of it talks about sea surface temperature. Some of it talks about the wind patterns and the strength of the wind patterns in different areas, because that can cause upwelling and move water. It talks about the sedimentation process. It talks about phytoplankton. And anyway, there's all sorts of technical things there. And if you're interested in that side of it, again, I highly recommend the video. But the research itself basically states that in the past, it's been really difficult, if not impossible, to do studies on that carbon sink process during the winter months. Because during the winter months in the Southern Hemisphere, it is dark basically 24/7. It's much harder to get ships there. It's much harder to do things in an accurate way. And so up to this point, they haven't done it. Well, now they're doing it using satellite LIDAR. It is simply a different research method. It is one that they, for whatever reason, have not had access to, or maybe it was research funding, maybe it was the resources or the time to be able to use the satellites for this specific purpose, but they have now done that. And they've also been able to gather historical evidence based on this new research method as well to show over the last couple of decades how much of a carbon sink this area actually is. And the results? Well, it turns out that outgassing in some regions is actually 40% higher than we had previously thought. Outgassing is when those locked up CO2 deposits in the sediment are released, and it turns the area into a carbon source rather than a carbon sink during those times. And this is typically happening in the winter months. So because they didn't really have the ability to go in there and research much in the winter, they didn't understand this phenomenon. Now they've gone in, they've done the research, they're finding out that, hey, a significant part of the year we're actually outgassing. CO2 is actually being emitted into the atmosphere or released into the atmosphere from the Southern Ocean rather than being taken in. And it's 40% worse than we thought that it was. This highlights the sensitivity of the area and the fact that if things continue to change, for example, sea surface temperatures was one really important aspect of this. So was the salinity levels. So if the currents change that bring in fresh water and that balance shifts, or if the temperature itself shifts, which we know is happening, the poles are warming at 4 times the rate as the rest of the world, if the balance of phytoplankton and winds change, which we know those are all changing, this could destabilize and make this number much worse. This time period in which there's outgassing could increase, and it could increase to such a rate that the Southern Ocean eventually becomes a carbon source on a long term rather than a carbon sink. Paul, in his description of the video, mentions that, quote, if the carbon sink in the Southern Oceans reduce quickly, climate change and extreme weather disruption will accelerate, greatly increasing risks of societal collapse and mayhem. Despite this new research, it's still an understudied area. There is no real extrapolation on what this could mean in the future as far as how quickly it could flip from a carbon sink to a carbon source, how much of a shift or a change would be needed in these different areas in order to cause that flip. But carbon sinks turning into carbon sources are, of course, tipping points. You know, it's the equivalent of something like having a job that no longer pays you an income, and they don't just stop paying you, they actually require you to now pay them, right? It's a complete reversal. The carbon sinks are beneficial to us in that they are taking in carbon dioxide that we are emitting. It would be one thing if they just stopped taking it in, right? Suddenly that would increase the amount of carbon dioxide that remains in the atmosphere, increasing temperatures. But not only that, they completely flip and they start actually emitting carbon. If that carbon dioxide is being emitted in addition to what was typically being removed, it is, of course, an accelerant. All right, and I'll end with this. Paul had put this on the Ark Collapse subreddit, and somebody had responded to it and said, whenever I have some personal or work dramas, I can always rely on some climate-related data points to put my dramas into perspective. And a responder to that said, I found that to be oddly comforting in a way. The realization that none of it matters in the end and that one should enjoy the present moment as much as possible. We're all destined for oblivion eventually, so might as well make the best of the time we do have. And it is sort of oddly comforting to think of it in that way, like, oh man, I've got these things in whatever in my personal life, you know, work sucks, or I don't know, I'm in a bad mood one day or whatever it might be. And then you take a step back and you look at the grand scheme of things and the massive changes that are happening and you realize your place in it. For me, and I know this is probably isn't true for everyone, but for me, it's almost comforting to realize that my small problems really aren't problems in the grand scheme of things. Okay, I told you this would be quick. Thank you for being here. We'll chat again tomorrow. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.